This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. We've got another fabulous guest to talk to in the second half of the show. We've got loads more tweets and emails, and I noticed the missus has been on and she wants to live in a castle.
Well, there's plenty of room for horses. I had mentioned that. Yeah. You could have more horses.
Oh, lovely.
More dogs.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, more squirrels.
Don't even go there.
Fat ones.
Yeah. Now, the lions from the and the bisons and all the rest of it that are wandering around in Port Lim Zoo, we'll keep them all away, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it might do. It might encourage them. You never know. I mean, your Mexican squirrels are something else, aren't they?
Oh, they're ninja squirrels. They are. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you're not really into this, are you? We could have a wing each. We needn't even talk to each other. You could have a little wing. I could have a little wing.
I'd never see you.
We could move our mothers in.
Have you ever been in that castle? It's huge, and it's all towers. You could move in and not know you were living there.
Well, there you are. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you buy it. I'll move in. I don't.
Well, we could be like JoJo's, and we could crowdfund. That's what they've done. They reached their target.
Did they?
100K, yeah.
Well, yeah.
In a month.
So basically, we'd only need another 10,900,000 and we've cracked it.
Exactly. I have to say, in our toilet break, listener, while the news was on, we do listen to the news, but not during the toilet break. The little cleaner was up there, and I know him quite well now, and I've forgotten his name, but he's lovely. And he let me go in because he was cleaning, but he let me nip in. And I'm now absolutely high from bleach, the smell of bleach. I'm like, wah! There's just so much bleach in there. It's like, because you know at home I only use eucalyptus oil
to
clean my toilet.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, or my dunny, as my little Australian cousin calls it. He calls it a dunny.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't call it a toilet. It's a dunny.
Jules travels the world with her new husband.
Yeah, well, I used to, pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID. And everywhere she went, she'd send me a picture of the toilets. And where were you? Namibia? Was it Namibia?
Namibia, yeah.
I get this thing, this tweet or text or whatever it was she sent. She said...
From the toilet?
She said, I'm in the toilet in the bush in Namibia.
I'm thinking,
oh, my God, what am I going to get here? And she sends me a picture of this fabulous toilet. It was absolutely stunning. Yeah. It was really stunning. Hold on a minute. That's a bush. That's a toilet in the Namibian desert.
Lovely basin.
Yeah, taps. Gold taps and everything.
Mirrors.
She said, yeah. She said, and I'm sitting on the loo at the moment. She said, and the picture I've shown you is me facing out. Shall I take a picture of the back? And I went, yeah. And she took a picture of the back of the loo. There's no wall. It was just open to the desert.
The odd lion comes in. Yeah, it was amazing, amazing. I love Namibia. Anybody that's listening, please go to Namibia. It's just divine. Absolutely.
But it was unbelievable, though.
Get a little lion, poke its head in.
Yeah, yeah.
Help you wipe your bum, you know, that sort of thing. It was wild. It was wild. But I do love a toilet, and I do like to inspect them wherever I go.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I do.
We've had quite a few tweets, but they seem to be talking about cream teas for some reason. Fort Burgoyne have been on again. Our guest last week left the fort with brains full of historic knowledge and bellies full of afternoon tea, they say. Well, there you go.
And Zeenat Nurani of the Wellbeing Show on Channel Radio says, I was once given a lion cub and a monkey for my birthday. How can that even be?
How did you do that?
Oh, I don't know. Now that is the castle for me, Jules.
What was she smoking when that happened, eh?
I don't know. It's just very odd. She, you know, did she ever spank the monkey, I wonder?
Oh, don't go there. Oh, don't start that again. We've only just finished the Ofcom problems with the last time you came with that. Yeah. Okie doke. We've got quite a few things happening now, and we've got a lovely guest we want to talk to. Are you going to read something?
Well, something big has happened in Maidstone. It's arrived in Maidstone.
I thought it was Ghostbusters for a minute there.
It's a huge metalwork, who are you going to call? Telecoms World. A huge metalwork dinosaur sculpture has arrived to greet people to the county town of Maidstone. And as they arrive by train at the new Maidstone East station entrance, it's being commissioned by Maidstone Borough Council, who very cleverly abbreviate their name to MBC.
I wonder how they thought of that.
Must have been up all night.
Yeah, they probably got a design consultancy to think of that,
probably,
didn't they?
Yeah, probably. Paid them thousands. Yeah. The stunning piece of art celebrates the world's first bird hip dinosaur, an iguanodon.
Iguanodon.
Whatever, which was found in Queen's Road in 1834 by Paul Andrews. Mm-hmm. The new sculpture, which measures approximately 3.5 metres long by 2 metres high, I have no idea what a metre is. What's that in inches? I don't know.
3 foot.
3 foot. Was installed this week in front of the new railway station entrance and will be one of the first things visitors see as they arrive or leave Maidstone, complementing the 2.5 million regeneration project to revive the station. In 1834, during the excavation of a quarry in the Queen's Road area of Maidstone, a fossil bone was uncovered, which appeared to be from an animal of tremendous size.
It was the remnants of Jules's picnic.
In 1834. Right. After further investigation, it was found that this bone was one piece of a partial skeleton of an iguanodon.
Iguanodon.
And that. More information can be found on the Maidstone Museum website. You can go to www.museum.maidstone.gov.uk, put a little slash Maidstones hyphen iguanodon, what he said. The artists who created the dinosaur sculpture are father and son Gary and Thomas Thrussell, who were chosen in a competitive tendering process and have family connections with the Maidstone area. We should get the Thrussells on.
We should indeed.
Just for their name.
Absolutely.
I do love a Thrussell.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our second guest of the day onto the show, Mr. Chandra Sharma. Chandra, thank you for joining us. We've been kind of talking to Chandra about getting him on the show for quite a while, actually, and we've eventually managed it, which
you
is lovely.
You managed to get me.
Yeah, we managed to get you. You're a busy man, aren't you?
I try.
Yeah,
I try.
Yeah. You're a very busy man.
But he's bought gifts as well, which I
like. Know.
And, I do love a guest who brings gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Chandra is Managing Director of Tangent Business Supplies, but he's also very active in the Bromley area. I'm going to be contentious here. In the Bromley area of Kent, in London.
Yes, we're definitely Kent.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's one of those funny things, isn't it? Bromley's a London borough, and all those kind of areas, where you are, Derek, as well, Orpington, it's all part of a London borough, but people still think they live in Kent.
Yeah,
and we still love you having in Kent.
Thank you very much. It depended on where the virus was at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting actually, because historically, even Lewisham was part of Kent once upon a time.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, enough of that. Chandra, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to see you. Why don't we kick off by you giving us a bit of background about you? Tell us a little bit about you.
Thank you very much, and it's great to be here. What a lovely studio you have here.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah. And I love the camaraderie that both you and Jules have here.
I've never met her before.
Hardly. I'm just high from the toilets and the bleach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With a little bit of AstraZeneca mixed in.
Yeah. When she came here, I gave her a rag and some spray stuff and said, go and clean the toilets. And then she came in here and started talking.
Yeah, the dunny.
No, thank you very much. I'm sorry it's taken a while to get me down here. But
It was worth the wait, Chandra.
Oh, definitely worth it. The weight here. Yes, I'm Chandra Sharma, and I run a business called Tangent Office Resources. Not business supplies, office resources.
Oh, sorry.
Or Tangent Office Supplies, as most people call us. Based in Orpington, and I think the Orpington Massive are here today, aren't we?
Yeah, both of you.
Both of us.
For the entire population, yeah.
Yes, the business has been going for 15 years, and it's an independent business. We're part of what they call a dealer group. So we're an independent stationers, but part of a dealer group called Integra Business Solutions. Mm. So it's not like a franchise. We just get all their marketing collateral. Here's one of them,
right.
The Office Work Catalogue,
okay.
Which contains lots of different products in there. But we have total independence in terms of what we do, and that's what I like. I have previously held two franchises before going into my own business. And the thing about franchises is it sort of restricts what you can do.
Sure, of course.
Whereas in something like your own business, you can do whatever you want to do without any fear whatsoever.
Mm.
But I love it. Absolutely love it. So thank you very much.
So 15 years you've been doing that.
Yeah.
Was your career before that in the office supply business and office supply arena? Or were you attracted to it as a...
No, I was a big user of office supplies. So the business that I had before was a headhunter. I was a headhunter many years ago.
Right.
And then I had another business which was dealing with conveyancing solicitors. So that was for about 15 years. And we used an awful lot of stationery.
Yeah.
And we tended to use a company with the big V that shouldn't be mentioned now. Mm-hmm. But because the big T is what you need. So I used to have a filing cabinet full of all of their brochures, and we used to get tempted by all their offers. A free radio, free shortbread biscuits, and all the rest of it there. So I loved it. Mm. But, stationery, we just came by accident, really. It wasn't something I wanted to do, but fell into it.
Okay. Well, do you know what? It's one of those funny things, isn't it? I do a program in schools where we talk about careers and the world of work and starting your own business.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of myths about people that start business, you know, and you get this, I think it's retrospective, you know, once people are successful, they kind of rewrite the history of where they started, you know, and they go, you know, I had a passion for this, and I launched my business with a passion for this. My thing, you know, and the other thing that drives me nuts about entrepreneurs is I spotted a gap in the market.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Yeah. No, you didn't. What most of us did in reality is we accidentally landed up doing something and then went, oh, I'm quite good at this. I think I'll carry on doing this, and made a success of it. And then we retrofitted, don't we? So I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that was your journey, but I'm just saying.
Well, it wasn't too dissimilar to that.
Yeah.
So the office that we have, which is a shop at the moment, we were trading the other business from the back office, but it came with retail usage. So after 6 months, I thought I'd better open something here. And the only thing that wasn't in Orpington at the time was a dedicated ink cartridge shop.
Right.
And so I actually went to, because I'd worked in franchises before, I went to see one of our competitors who used to refill ink cartridges. Mm. I thought, this is fascinating. They wanted something like £90,000 for this franchise.
Wow.
But what they were doing was using syringes to fill ink cartridges. So, well, I can do this. And so we set up the ink cartridge shop, and it was called Cut Price Cartridges because I wanted a value sort of proposition. And that was the only thing that wasn't in town. Yes, the multiples stocked them, but no one could do it the way we could in terms of compatibles, refills, branded cartridges and all the rest of it. The problem that we had is that we're on a one-way system, and I don't know if you know Brands Hatch at all.
I do know it very well.
I've driven round it once the wrong way in my, my Lotus Esprit Turbo when I was a JPS girl, very long time ago. But I went round the wrong way, apparently, which is probably not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, the one-way system that we're on is very much like Brands Hatch. Everyone goes at 90 miles an hour. Nobody ever stops there, so I thought we're never going to eat here if I carry on this way. So we then decided to just go cold calling set myself.
Very brave.
Yeah, I know. I hate it.
Very
brave. I hate it. So I employed somebody to do that.
Delegation. That's what we like. Delegation. Yeah.
So this guy, he went around town and telling everyone about their ink cartridges. Nobody was really that much interested in cartridges, but they kept saying, we could do with some stationery. And that's how we fell into stationery.
Right.
There.
Do you still do cartridges?
Yeah, we still do cartridges. We still have a shop. We're still cartridges. Yeah, okay. We don't refill them anymore.
Right.
They're compatible, remanufactured, and we also do originals. But the price of cartridges has gone through the roof in the pandemic as well.
Yeah. You know, it's often said nowadays that they give the printers away free with the cartridges.
They do.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I've got an all-in-one printer at home. I think I paid £50 for it or something. It was nothing, you know, it was ridiculous. But then it's £35 for two cartridges that last about a week.
Absolutely terrible. And one of our clients used to actually, I mean, this is shocking, you know, buy new printers every time they needed the cartridges. So they bought the printer with the toners.
With the cartridges.
Yeah, and then they threw the printers away.
Right.
And I thought, this is just absolutely crazy. But yeah. That's
so,
the way it was.
So has the price gone through the roof because of people working from home?
Yeah.
So
working.
There's more demand. You'd think the price would go down.
No, there is more demand, but there's less supply. So one of the problems that we had...
So is it like my mum's dishwasher?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
No, you couldn't use them on your dishwasher.
I know what I mean.
It'll make the plates all red
it's
and blue, wouldn't it?
It's that little chip thing. Where are they made, these cartridges?
A lot of them are in the Far East.
Please don't say China.
Yeah, a lot of them are in the Far East, and that's part of the problem there. But the prices have just shot through the roof because everyone's working from home.
Yeah.
So we're business to business, so we're used to supplying ink toners and all the rest of it. While people have been working from home, they've been working on their inkjet printer and an ink cartridge, which doesn't last them that long. And, you know, ounce per ounce, some of the ink is dearer than gold.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me, I guess.
The thing is, we're trying not to print too much stuff off at home in our office, but I still like to print something off to read.
Yeah.
And it's a strange thing, isn't it? Looking on your phone is not the same. I hate sitting at my computer. I avoid it as much as possible. I do nearly all my work on my phone. So I still like to print something off to read in my little rocking chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
At leisure.
Yeah, the world of work has changed, and there's no need to really print things off. I shouldn't be saying this, really, as a station.
But we still do.
I like being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like reading a newspaper. I still.
But Sharma, look, I've got, you know, because on the radio, it's not. You can't really read it off a screen.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at all the other screens. So I'm a great technology user. I've worked in IT for nearly 50 years, and. But I still print off these emails that I get every week for reading out on the radio because it's just easier.
Yeah.
Sharma will give you a discount.
And she scribbles notes all over them, so I can't use it again.
I do. But, this is a problem, isn't it? But not for you, obviously.
Yeah, no, it is a problem. But, you know, with the move to working from home, there's been other opportunities as well because people have been working from the back bedrooms most of the time.
Yeah.
Now those back bedrooms are becoming more permanent.
Yeah.
So we're looking at things like display screen equipment assessments. So people are sitting on their chairs with the right posture, having breaks. And we also do things like height adjustable desks. So you're not just sitting at your desk all the time.
Yeah.
Do you do standing desks yet?
Yeah,
I love a standing desk.
Oh, is it? Sit stand.
That's your buzzword, is it? I got my new husband a standing desk 10 years ago from a back specialist company. And then I had one commissioned by our local craftsman.
Yeah.
And I said, I want it to go down because he was doing it in the living room. I want it to be a coffee table and then miraculously turn into a standing desk. So maybe we could work together on
it. Well, it's interesting because I got a business proposition for you here.
Yeah.
That was mine.
Yeah, yeah. at the start of this lockdown, when people started to work from home, I don't know if you know, I own a thing called Fruitworks, which
That's
is
right,
a community workspace, hot desking space in Canterbury. And we had 120 businesses in there. So we've been involved in the remote community working environment for a long time. And when we started moving from home, one of the things we realised, and one of the reasons we get so many members, is a lot of people don't have the space to work at home.
No.
Yeah. So one of the interesting things is, and I couldn't find a product in this country, I found one product in America, but by the time you shipped it here, it was fantastically expensive.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. You could have bought a new house instead. Yeah. But it's basically an office, a complete home office, but that folds away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a thing on wheels, and it's a bit like Jules was saying. When you unfold it, it's got a pop-up desk and da-da-da-da-da. But once you get to 6 o'clock in the evening, you push it down, fold it in, put it away, and put it in a corner out of the way. And I think there's going to be a massive market for those kind
Huge.
Of products as people work from home but don't have the space to work from home.
Exactly.
You know, a dedicated space. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a fairly big opportunity there.
Yeah.
Because working from home is becoming more permanent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, some companies have invested in their staff working from home, given them the training, but others sadly haven't.
Yeah.
And particularly small businesses, they haven't got the budget or anything else. They're still working at their dining tables.
It's awful to see youngsters working on their beds, you know, and stuff like that. And I know my youngest works for Softcat, which is a big IT company in London, and they sent him second screens and bought him a desk and stuff like that. So that's been really, really good. But he's had to rent a two-bedroom flat instead of a one-bedroom flat in London, which is not cheap, because there's a couple and they're both working, you know, one's in the kitchen and one's in the, you know, doing Zooms and that.
Yeah.
So that has to be taken into consideration. You know, you need another bedroom almost or another room.
Absolutely.
So would you say that you're an ergonomic specialist?
I am an ergonomic specialist. I'm glad you mentioned the ergonomics because that is so important as well. So things
Let's all sit up.
Everyone's suddenly sitting up.
Whoops.
This should be like this.
And this is what the DSE assessments, display screen equipment assessments, do. So it's a 45-minute assessment. We can do it over Zoom. I have done some physically, but can be done over Zoom. And it's about having the right posture, having the right back support, having the right neck support. Your feet are supported. Your legs are at a right angle. Your arms are at a right angle. You don't get RSI, repetitive strain injury. So the whole range of products, a whole suite of products that we do to help people, certainly with that, whether they're in the home or in the office. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
and
it's a growth area.
Yeah, it's important. It is a big area of importance.
Headaches, neckache, all that sort of stuff.
My posture. You know, I spend all day, every day, sitting working at a screen. I have five offices, but for the last 8 or 9 years I've worked from home. I have an office at home. That's just because I don't like to be found, because people bring me problems if they know where I am. But I work from home, and I get the most tremendous backaches and neck aches and headaches where I'm just hunched over a screen all day, every day.
You know, on some of these height adjustable desks, they actually have a control which tell you when to get up.
Yeah.
So it's a mobile app, and they say, well, you need to now take a break. Mm. We shouldn't have to, but the way we work at the moment, because there's so much pressure on at work, you've got to get tasks done and everything else there. People don't get up from their desk, apart from to go to the loo or grab a glass of water.
Don't even do that. Got a shiwi.
I've just seen one here.
Yeah.
A commode.
Yeah.
But I think that's also the nature of many of us working from home. And we just had a week camping in Dorset. Dorset was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
But we still get WhatsApps. Yeah. You know, we still get WhatsApps on Sunday. We've got a lot of foreign people that live abroad are our clients. And we get WhatsApps on Christmas Eve. And it's never ending, isn't it, when you run a business. And we're just mobile all the time now.
Well, these are mini computers that we have, aren't they? These phones are mini computers. So if somebody sends you a message, you feel as though you need to reply.
I sometimes tweet people and say, look, I'm drinking at the moment. I can't answer. You know.
I might spill it.
Yeah, exactly. Or say the wrong thing.
Cool. So aside from I'm not dismissing it because we just discussed it's incredibly important, the ergonomic issues around office space.
Yeah.
But as an organisation, Chandra, what are the kind of products that people are buying now? You know, back in the day, it used to be, you know, like printer paper and stuff like that was the was the big commodities. What are the big commodities that people still buy from a stationer?
I mean, paper still sells, and it will always sell because, you know, the companies that we supply are things like accountants, solicitors, etc., who do need the paper records there.
Yeah.
But facilities are big as well. So facilities management, things like toilet paper and kitchen towels and hygiene.
Janitor supplies.
Janitorial supplies,
I love a blue roll myself. I'm a big fan of a blue roll.
Yeah, she's still
blue roll.
Yeah, she still has Bronco in her toilet.
I don't even know what that is. What is Bronco?
It's that shiny toilet paper you used to get when you were at school.
Oh, we didn't have that. We used to have newspaper.
Right.
Bits torn up on a string.
Presentation.
Tracing paper. Oh, we used to put that on a comb and play music.
Yeah.
Did you not do that?
We had instruments.
We must have had a misspent youth.
He's young, isn't he?
Yeah, younger.
Yeah.
The other sort of things are presentation. So whiteboards and things, they're really
love a whiteboard.
Yeah.
My new husband took mine down. I've got a beautiful whiteboard in the office.
I don't think we want to know about that.
He's taken over my office for all his Zoom calls, which apparently are much more important than mine. I mean, the United Nations. Instead of scoff and quaff. But he took down my whiteboard, and I absolutely love my whiteboard. He's not a whiteboard fan. He's got all his books up there and stuff.
Do you do you get involved with the technical whiteboards? You know,
For schools we do that for schools as well. Yeah.
Do we have blackboards anymore?
No.
So they're all whiteboards.
All whiteboards. Now,
so what is a technical whiteboard? What does that do?
It's one of the interactive ones, a smart sort of whiteboard.
So it tap dances and washes
up. It does everything for you.
Wow.
There's glass boards as well now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Glass boards. Yeah.
What's a glass board?
It's a board of glass.
Doing it. What does it do?
You write on there. Yeah. So it's just.
So you can see it, behind.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see on it, but it's just.
But
trendy.
Hang on, you
it's
can
trendy.
See the background behind.
You can see the background.
You can see through because it's glass. Yeah,
it's a bit Star Warsy. It's a lot bit futuristic.
So if somebody was changing behind, you'd see it all, would you?
You could see everything.
Oh
yeah.
Dear. What do you think, Paul? Should we get a glass board in here?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can tell he's not concentrating. So tell us. Are you expanding now? Are you changing anything? Because I know your printer ink and stuff, but are you changing anything or any plans that we might know about?
Yeah, no, we are on a recruitment drive now. The pandemic has hit everybody hard because we rely on people being at work. Yeah. When people are working from home, they tend to order less than they would do if they're working from their offices.
Because when they're in the offices, it's someone else paying, maybe. Maybe it's a different thing.
Part of that, but they just use a lot more in an office. So if somebody's working from home, they may have a ream of paper and an ink cartridge, whereas in an office, they may have 20 boxes of paper and toner cartridges, which all adds up. But, we're recruiting now. We're recruiting for a part-time driver. We're also recruiting for a salesperson as well. So if anybody wants a sales position, that's...
And what area do they need to live in?
Ideally, it's in the Bromley borough. Bromley, Dartford, Sevenoaks, Lewisham, those are the sort of areas.
Their own vehicle or...?
Ideally, they would need to have their own vehicle, we've got the company van, that's for the drivers, but yes, own vehicle.
And cold calling that you love? They would be doing that?
Yeah, they'd be doing the cold calling. Because some people love cold calling.
Yeah, I used to cold call, I love it.
Absolutely.
I cold call Paul Andrews most nights.
Yeah, she does.
With a different voice.
I'll tell you what, I'm in bed one night, it's 4 a.m.
Right.
And I get a text message, hello, I'm in Spain, I'm in a karaoke bar and I can't think what to sing next. What do you recommend? I go,
He gave me terrible suggestions for songs as well.
Workwear.
Yep. Oh, yes. Yeah. One of my favourite topics.
Little rubber boots. Those little yellow boots.
Yeah. So you do workwear as well. Do you do branded workwear?
We do branded workwear. And that's been a growth area, actually, over the last 2 years or so. That's kept us going.
Right.
So we've got a couple of embroidery machines. We also do vinyl print. So the advantage of that is we can do small runs as well as large runs there. We're currently working for an apprenticeship provider where... Almost every week, we're providing with the kit bags, the boots, the trousers, the high vis, the hard hats, goggles, and everything else.
Wow.
So every time a new apprentice starts, we supply them with the bags there.
Yeah.
And also for the hospitality trade, we always say wear your brand with pride.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you go, just wear your brand. Even if it's a smart shirt,
and
I'm not wearing my brand here today, but...
But you're on the radio, so
I'm on the radio,
off.
So I'm telling you about the brand.
Yeah.
But always wear your brand wherever you go, because it's a walking advert, just like with a van.
Yeah.
If you've got your name and everything else on there,
I actually asked my builder why he doesn't have his van sign-righted, and he said because he doesn't want any more work because he's booked up till next year, and B, he's kind of doesn't want everyone to know that he's got stuff in it and things like that. So, but most, I'm always taking phone numbers of builders and plumbers and things as they whiz along. It's a great marketing tool.
And we can brand vans as well. So we can do all the vinyl prints on
that. Is that like vinyl wrapping?
Vinyl wrapping. IFF.
I mean, is there anything he doesn't do?
I know.
Indians do everything. We say, never say no.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Now, we could talk about this forever, but we're kind of running out of time and we're fast approaching the end of the show. And I want to just cover some of the other stuff you do. I don't know where he finds the time. Where's he after doing all that? But you're very active in the Federation of Small Businesses as well, Chandra.
Yeah.
So give us
Yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us an overview of what you do there.
Okay, I mean, when I started my business 15 years ago, one of the things I wanted to do is make a difference to the local town.
Yeah.
Because, again, if you can make a difference to the town, it'll make a difference to your business. Mm. So I became a member of the Federation of Small Business, I think, 14, 15 years ago, because somebody walked in and said, you can save money on your Streamline, as it was called then, the PDQ machines. And that paid for the membership. But at one stage, we were running a campaign about keep trade local. And I know Jules was talking about keeping trade local. And I'm a big, big fan of that as well. And I just asked the FSB for help. The FSB did a whole advert campaign in the local papers, really supported the small businesses. And I thought, well, this is fantastic. And I then became a volunteer for them. And that's what I do now. So I represent businesses to the London Borough of Bromley. Anybody who has any issues, I encourage them to come to me. Don't know where I find the time from, but I listen to their problems, go to the council, and then try and get things done. I'm not antagonistic, because I don't think that works.
He's a smiler,
really.
Isn't he?
He strikes me as a very mellow sort of person that gets things done.
No matter what's happened in this studio today, he's smiled his way through the whole of this.
He's not aggressive, is he?
No, he's not. No.
But gets things done, I would think. What's your star sign?
My star sign, Virgo.
Oh, I was going to say you might be a Leo, but Virgo works as well.
So, I just believe in making things happen. However things happen, as long as they happen, I don't care who gets the credit, and that's what I do. Mm. So helping and supporting businesses. If the council then gets a new website, like they are doing now in an enterprise hub, well, we've worked towards that for them to get it. So they get the credit, that's fine, as long as it gets done. As long as businesses get their grants and we shout and holler and make sure that they get their grant, that's important as well. So that's what I do. And then we also run networking meetings, two or three networking meetings every single month. And when the pandemic hit, we set up a group called the Business Continuity Support Group. And Zenat, who's one of the hosts here, helps us run this along with Sarah Marsh Collins and membership advisor Piyush Patel. And we ran this twice a week at the start of the pandemic. And the idea was to help small businesses with things like cash flow, access to finance, legal problems, employment issues, and marketing. And really enjoyed that. And that's what I really enjoyed. My real passion is helping people and helping businesses.
Absolutely.
And hopefully... eventually some of the work comes your way as well.
Absolutely,
The FSB legal team has been amazing for us. We use them once and it knocks socks off a big, very wealthy guy that used a very expensive lawyer. And the chat we used with the FSB was incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
No, it's a great organisation.
Mm.
Chandra, it's a pleasure talking to you.
And you.
We kind of run out of time, so we're going to get you back at some point because there's a lot more stuff we can talk about and there's loads of things we want to ask you. But for the moment, Chandra, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Do stay with us for the last 10 minutes or so. But if you want to find out more, give us a shout for your website.
It's tangentoffice.com, TANGENT, office.com.
Fantastic. There's a link to that on the Business Bunker Radio website where you can find it there. For the moment, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
And we'll talk to you again soon. We've not got a lot of time left, and we've got quite a few things to cover.
Calling all Star Wars fans, may the toys be with you in Maidstone, talking of Maidstone again, as part of the May Your Toys Be With You exhibition, which continues at Maidstone Museum. Three special events are being held, which will be unmissable for all Star Wars fans, and visitors will be able to meet not only animatronic designer and puppeteer from the film series, but also hear from the exhibition creator and grab a selfie with some of their favourite characters, including volunteers from the Rebel Legion and 501 plus or sorry, 501 Star Garrison. I don't even know Star Wars. I've never watched it. Embarrassing, isn't it? Open till 4th of September at the Maidstone Museum. And it's one of the finest UK collections of vintage Star Wars toys and original cinema posters. So this is for little and big kids alike. And not to be missed. So also, Saturday 21st of August, you can meet the animatronic designer and puppeteer. That's Tim Rose, also known as Admiral Akbar. Between 10 and 2 p.m., no booking is necessary and autographs will be charged accordingly. Thursday 26th of August, you can meet the exhibition creator, Matt Fox, who will be talking about the making of the Star Wars films between 6 and 9 p.m. I'm going to give you the website and you can have a look. There's lots going on. There's another Galaxy Far, Far Away, a free event on the 28th of August. So the website you need is museum.maidstone.gov.uk. Go and have a butcher's on there and see what else is going on.
Thank you, Jar Jar Binks.
It means nothing to me.
Okay. You know what we're going to do now? The uninterrupted... I have to tell her this.
Oh, yeah.
The uninterrupted FSB news.
I like to chip in, you see.
She likes to interrupt.
Yeah, I'll have a jacket.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
There's a webinar, Perspectives, How to Increase Your Resilience, taking place on Tuesday the 24th of August, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. The FSB's Perspectives is a series of events designed to help you build a resilient and successful business. For our first event, we welcome Jinga Varu, Chief Commercial Officer at award-winning business Microfresh and CEO of Homefresh. Join us for an insightful hour where Jigna will share her knowledge, experience, strategies and tips for growing a successful business in a tough climate. You'll leave with usable insights and food for thought. All of the things I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a link at the end of this where you can find out more and where you can book your place on any of these. On Thursday the 26th of August, there's Exercise in a Box, Working Remotely.
Exercise in a Box, sorry.
Exercise in a Box. It's 10:30 a.m. till 12, and it's a cyber attacks, this one. Cyber attacks can stop your small business in its tracks. Even sole traders and micro businesses can be a target. So whether you're self-employed or running a team, there are steps you can take now to protect your business. The FSB have teamed up with Converge Communication Solutions and the Scottish Business Resilience Centre to offer the first in a mini-series of cyber support events. In our first session, we will be looking at working from home and working remotely. So there you go. There's on Wednesday the 22nd of September, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Maidstone Virtual Networking. This is with Peter Searle, and he's hosting this free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. On Thursday the 9th of September, and the 9th of September is a busy day in the FSB world. Thursday the 9th of September, 12:30 to 1:30, Maximise Your Membership. This Maximise Your Membership session is a free online event open to all new joiners to the FSB, as well as existing members who want to refresh their memories regarding what's available to you as a member. Also on Thursday the 9th of September, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m, it's an early one, Kent Property and Construction event. This online event to get inside knowledge from an expert which could make the difference and make useful contacts. Hosted by Peter Searle, and that's on Thursday the 9th of September, Kent Property and Construction. And then also on Thursday the 9th of September, Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking. And they say it's 11 a.m. to 12 p.m, but there's an optional after party. Well, there would be, really, wouldn't there?
I'm not allowed to interrupt, otherwise I'd comment
interrupt,
on that.
Yeah.
I do love an after party.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. And this event is hosted by Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. So they are the events that are taking place, and you can find all of them, find more detail and book your space by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, and you can find all of those events there. The furlough scheme changed on the 1st of August. The amount that businesses which are making use of the furlough scheme will have to pay towards the wages of furloughed employees will rise to 20% from its current level of 10%. The government will contribute 60% of wage costs following the change, down from the current 70%. This level of employer and government contribution will remain in place until the end of September, when the scheme closes for good. Allegedly. The FSB have an event strategy survey. We're keen to hear from our members about how we deliver events in the future. In response to the pandemic, the FSB reacted quickly and shifted our events activity virtually, and they've delivered over 1,800 virtual events to 58,000 people in the past 12 months. The FSB are continuing to align our activity with the roadmap set out by the England and devolved governments, and long-term the FSB will embrace new behaviours of the business community by delivering a mix of virtual and physical events. Please help us shape our programme by completing a very short survey that should only take 3 minutes or so that they know how to go forward. And the way to access this survey is to go to www.smartsurvey.co.uk/FSB future events. That's www.smartsurvey.co.uk/FSB future events. You can also find that link by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, where you can find all of those things there. And that is the Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway roundup for this week.
And
you can interrupt now, George.
Yes, I will. I was just biting my lip. A spa could be added to Faversham's largest hotel as part of the latest set of plans to expand the historic site. It's the bosses from the Judd's Folly Hotel in Ospringe, and they've lodged proposals with Swale Borough Council to build the facility in order to make better use of the business's swimming pool. They also want to expand the first floor of the building, parts of which date back to the 1600s. You'd remember that, Paul Andrews?
I do, yeah, I was there.
Yeah, to in your sort of baggy, those trousers they used to wear.
Elizabethan, I was.
Yeah, you were. To provide two new rooms and planning papers
I was
say,
wench hunting.
Did you find a wench?
No.
Planning papers say she's probably being ducked at the time. That's what they used to do, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
The current proposal for a spa facility is intended to complement the hotel and make use of the existing, though disused, swimming pool. I might contact them. I could help them on all that.
Absolutely.
Serenity Becker as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I love, of course, Reeds in Faversham. It's my favourite. It's where I took my mum for her 90th. It's just amazing. Have you been to Reeds?
Not for a long time.
Lovely, independent. Food is superb. And the service is, it's that kind of service where they're not there, they're not hovering, but whenever you need anything, they just appear at the right time.
Yeah.
Just fabulous. If only I could click my fingers like that.
Cool. Located in Kent, I'm delighted to announce the launch of a brand new property portal. With hundreds of available properties from office to co-working spaces, retail and industrial units, our enhanced search tool will allow you to find the perfect home for your growing business. There's quick search by area and type. Add your favourite properties to a shortlist. View properties on an interactive map. You can find this all out by going to their website, which is property.locatingkent.com. That's property.locatingkent.com.
And deserted tube stations and cancelled commutes prompted forecasts of a revolution in the way people work today, as our guest has also been talking about, both the guests actually, and the doom for the traditional 9-to-5 in the office. New figures from Inwood Investment Agency Locating Kent and Flexible Workspace Networking Group, the Kent Co-working Collective, have released today, and they've provided a fascinating glimpse into how much this reflects reality as final restrictions are lifted and business plan once again for office life beyond the pandemic. From February to June of this year, a sample of 20 flexible workspace providers in Kent and Medway received more than 1,100 inquiries from businesses looking for co-working space in the region. The county has a flourishing network of co-working hubs with more than 50 locations offering hot desks and offer flexible office space. and other, sorry, flexible office space. Read the whole report by going to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk and also everything else we've mentioned on the show today.
Absolutely. It's been almost 30 years since the Isle of Sheppey last had a regular freight service to the continent. But now DFDS has launched one from Sheerness to Calais. Richard Goffin, Port Director of Peel Ports, which runs Sheerness Docks, said we're bringing back the service after three decades of not having one. The daily service, which began last month, has created an estimated 100 new jobs. It is entirely a freight service, and it's quite interesting, actually, because the way it works is you drive up in a truck with a trailer.
Yeah.
You unhook the trailer and put the trailer on the ferry, but you don't take the truck. So the ferry just transports
takes
the trailers.
Your trailer.
And the other end, somebody with a truck hooks up your trailer.
That's really a good idea. Then yeah. Why will we have food shortages? And, you know, if you can do that,
well,
be great.
Well, I ain't got anyone to drive the trucks, of course.
Well, then maybe they could have a few passengers on there, because I quite like to go
it's
across.
Not a passenger ferry.
I know, but can't they wheedle us in
no,
a crate?
We could put you in a box and put you on the back of the
Mind
trailer.
Mind you, I don't want to go to France anymore, because they're looking at vaccine passports now.
Oh, did you see that this morning?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see
the police are actually going around?
It was like a very unfunny episode of Hello, Hello, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was really, really nasty. So I wonder if I go there with my little, very, very dog-eared AstraZeneca from March and show them just one, I would be frog-eared off, would I? Yeah. Frog-marched.
But they don't even work anyway, do they? Your card.
What do you mean they don't work?
Well, they don't. We won't accept your card as proof of a vaccine anyway.
Well, I wouldn't want that one. It's a bit. Well, how do I have proof of vaccine then?
Well, you have to be.
It's a letter from your GP, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Or it's on your smartphone. That's what.
I see. I'm not doing apps. I'm not going on the NHS app thing. Well, does that mean you have to?
In France, yeah, you can't go
what
out.
What about in England? Do you have to?
Not at the moment, no. But in France, they've gone full Nazi, haven't they? You can't do anything. You can't do anything.
Well, it's very worrying. Well, it's very worrying.
My eldest son and my grandson live in France, and they can't go out. Bear, my grandson's not even allowed to go to the playground.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible. You see, I'm working now with a journalist of 25 years vaccine investigation, and she has told me the most awful things about the vaccine. So we need a whole other programme.
You know, I mean, that's a completely different issue.
Of course
my,
it is.
My point is, is not whether the vaccine is efficacious or not. It's why can you force someone to have something they don't want just in order to go and get a cup of coffee or to go shopping for food? I just think that's outrageous.
Well, you're forcing someone to become a hermit who can't go and support themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing that worries me about this is how all of this is linked on a smartphone.
Yeah.
And you can be tracked and traced and all the rest of it. Mm. And we've already seen how that's not working very well.
Yeah. And also a lot of people don't have smartphones. My mum hasn't got one. Well, she has, but she can't work it.
Oh, it's another business proposition. One of the things I said is one of the ways out of this is there's going to be a resurgence in people buying Nokia 3310s. Yeah. So that it's not you got a mobile phone in your pocket that can send text messages and you can phone people on,
and it's that
but
big.
You can't be tracked. Yeah, well, you know, I had a Motorola ETAC in 1989. I tell you, yeah, it took three of us to lift the damn thing. it was ridiculous. It cost me £3,500 this thing in 1989, and I could only phone two people on it.
I used to have a Betamax video. They were going to be all the rage. Yeah. A Betamax video player. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah. Betamax? They were slightly smaller than the VHS one.
Yeah. And then they weren't really compatible, were they? Like with you had to have different videos and things like that.
Jules has still got an 8-track player as well.
Well, my brother had one in his Cortina, an 8-track. He used to have the Beach Boys on it all the time.
Yeah, well, it was the only
going
thing.
Round and round.
It was the only thing that came out on it, wasn't it? Yeah, I had that 8-track as well. That and Wings. Yeah.
I do love the Beach Boys.
There's a fundraiser for Good Things Brewing Company. They raised more than £18,000 after a brewery near Tunbridge Wells was struck by lightning. The brewery boss says he's completely overwhelmed after more than £18,000 was raised in 2 days following a fire which burnt down their premises. A 17th century barn and brewery in Eridge near Tunbridge Wells was hit by lightning the Sunday before last. The building caught fire and spread rapidly and burnt to the ground. But local people, you know, it's what we were talking about earlier, Chandra, you know, how local communities can support each other.
Yeah.
Well, the local community there came together to raise money very quickly to help them get back up and running. And what a fantastic story that is. Have you got anything else you need to read to us?
I've read mine diligently.
Well, we're almost at the end of the show. Here's a quick update on the Construction Expo Southeast, which is taking place on the 21st of October. It's a live event at the South of England Event Centre. That's at Ardingly. But because we have the technology, we're also going to be live streaming the event, which means if you're exhibiting, you'll also, in addition to your physical stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth. It's totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. The Southeast Construction Expo is where you will find out about major projects and investment opportunities, hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content, free meet the buyer with top UK construction companies, live demos of great new innovative products, how to profit from the many new ways of modern construction, and the opportunity to meet thousands of construction businesses and some great networking. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to their website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk, and that's taking place on the 21st of October this year. I've got a few more things, but we've not got a lot of time to read them all out. Street soccer holiday camps in Kent and Medway are looking for volunteers immediately to help coaching football with young people. There's loads of different things you can do, and the event is running until Friday the 27th of August. They're looking for people that want to volunteer as drivers, coaches, or just helpers. Please contact Kay Skelton, who's head of community, and there's an email address, kay@streetsoccerfoundation.org.uk. So if you'd like to help as a volunteer up until the 27th of August, it's in the Maidstone area, by the way, kay@streetsoccerfoundation.org.uk. Jules.
I've read them all.
I know you, so you just said you read all yours.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite diligent, you see. Yeah, diligent.
All right, okay. Good. Well, we've reached the end
of
the
show,
yeah.
Okay, that's really good, because these headphones hurt my temples.
Really?
My left temple, after the AstraZeneca jab.
She had to get that in, didn't she?
Yeah, my left temple really hurts. I would like to say a big thank you to our sponsor.
Yeah.
Remind me who they were.
Loch Associates,
thank you.
Yeah.
So you say I write things down, but I don't always write the things that I should do down.
No, you write rubbish down. I know, I get to read it afterwards. When you give me the emails back and I get all these notes.
I might write a really rude note to
you. Yeah, that Chander, he was nice. Yeah.
He did everything, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you could call him for anything.
That Derek's aftershave, was getting me going.
Yeah.
That was.
I do like a little whiff of aftershave in the studio. Yeah.
That's the kind of notes I find. No, completely useless for me.
I did actually spray myself with something nice when I came out, but I only spray my dress, and I don't know if I can smell it now.
There you go.
I obviously didn't put it
anyway, in. Anyway, we've reached the end of another show.
Not as much as Derek, anyway.
I'd like you to join me on Thursday Business Bunker Extra Show, where we have a 30-minute show at 1 o'clock on Thursday, and my guest this week is the lovely Amanda Simpson of SVC Solutions. So join us on Thursday for the Business Bunker Extra Show.
Hear what her solutions are.
Exactly. But I'd like to say a massive thank you to our guest today, Mr. Derek Reed of Telecoms World.
Thank you.
And Chandra Sharma of Tangent Office Resources. You've got lots of different names there as well, haven't you? You keep finding me.
It's quite a lot to get out, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he does
at your age.
My memory goes. Yeah. But it was a pleasure to see Chandra.
And he does everything. That's what I'm amazed at.
Our quiet little gnome in the corner.
Yeah.
Mr. Darren Wheel.
Giver of Jaffa Cakes.
In Tune PR. That's
he's the mad Jaffa Cake eater.
Exactly. And thank you to my gorgeous co-host.
Fabulous co-host,
lovely, stonkingly gorgeous.
And a little temple pain all the way through, you know.
Absolutely, you are a pain, that's true.
Thank you.
We'll be back with another show next week. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.